This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
To Freedom Works. That's the Hollies. Remember the Hollies? Bus Stop, Wet Day, She's There. We could have played the Bus Stop one Wednesday, or I should say Monday. It was coming down all day and flooding like you would never believe. But it's dry today in Tampa Bay. This is Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy. Wednesday, August 5th. Thank you for being here. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with William Yeatman, Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk about the new Obama rules on coal plants. Are they legal? Are they fair to the people that are mining coal? Are they fair to the people that are buying energy? Will they really help our environment with these new coal rules? Also, I'll tell you what, I don't know how Hillary Clinton is going to survive to the presidential election. Now the FBI has entered the picture on her emails. The FBI is looking. We'll talk about it. And we are going to discuss what I consider to be a highly deceitful editorial in the Tampa Bay Times. It's out this morning, and it's on Planned Parenthood, so stay tuned for that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10 list. You will not want to miss this one. It is the top 10 party colleges in America. Do you think you know where they are? Did you graduate from one of them? We will find out. We come to you, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great, great Tantalk Radio Network to promote the concept of individual freedom. That's what we're all about. It's libertarianism with a small L. Something that made our country great. Something upon which our Declaration of Independence and Constitution was based. But we forget about it, don't we? Anyway, you want to call us, it's 866-826-1340. 866-826-1340. And you want to visit our website for sure. TheFreedomWorks.com. Please go there. It's an easy one to read. You can go and click on our podcast button because Big Ed sets up all of our previous programs there. Please go and have a listen. We will. We always show you who the guest is going to be that we talk with and the top 10 list and the topic for our guest. So it's always worthwhile. TheFreedomWorks.com. Well, in a few minutes, Bill Yeatman from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and his colleague at CEI, Marlo Lewis, has penned an article called EPA's Power Sector Carbon Rules. Are they legal? And he talks about the new pollution standards for coal and carbon, which were released Monday. They require that new coal-fired power plants be the standard of 1,400 pounds of carbon dioxide per megawatt hour. Now, does that really work? They say at the EPA that these standards better represent that we would get reasonable cost, lower pollution. But the CEI, Competitive Enterprise Institute, not so sure about that. They say it is fatally flawed, so I want you to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we got so much going on. I think we'll start out with the fact that you won't be reading it very much in papers like the Tampa Bay Times. If you go to page 5 of the Tampa Bay Times, there's a little box story on it. But there's another Planned Parenthood video that has come out. And on it, an official from Planned Parenthood admits that abortion procedures and the prices are, in fact, changed to accommodate special body part requests, including intact unborn children. Can you believe it? It's hard to believe. This is the fifth and latest video that this group, it's a conservative group, has released. It's a 16-minute video, and a woman by the name of Melissa Farrell is on there. She is a director of research for Planned Parenthood, Gulf Coast. So it would be here in Florida, I believe, or possibly one of the states that border the Gulf. I'm not sure where it is. She discusses pricing for body parts. Pricing. Can you believe it? We're going to talk a little bit later, by the way, on an editorial denouncing people that are upset about the taxpayer-supported Planned Parenthood. Why do we have to fund? Why does the federal government demand that we taxpayers fund Planned Parenthood? I'd like to see that specific mandate in the Constitution where we fund health organizations. Of course, there isn't one. We're not supposed to be funding them. That's not the federal government's job. But, of course, when did we start following the Constitution? You know, it's been a long time. So, but we will be talking a little bit further on that. In light of it, however, the Senate, as you may know, has failed to advance a Republican measure to halt the taxpayer support of Planned Parenthood. They actually had a 53-46 majority in the Senate, but that falls 7 votes shy of what is needed to do it. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Bill Yeatman will join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
God, I hate need you to help me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love will tumble me down. You leave me
breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, it's Sawyer from the Dolphin Tale movies. Now is the perfect time to visit the world-famous Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Millions have seen us around the world, and now you can experience what we do in person. Come and reconnect with Winter and her fun-loving movie co-stars, Hope, Mavis, and yes, that crazy bird, Rufus. Immerse yourself into the world of marine life rescue with the behind-the-scenes tour. Explore the film sets, and don't miss our free boating adventure. Save time in line when you buy tickets at seawinter.com. Kids only $16.95.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hi, it's Mike Riso, one of the professional golf instructors at Clearwater Country Club. Our daily golf tips are here to help you improve your game as simply and quickly as possible. Tune in each morning and we'll have a fresh new golf tip that'll help you with your putting, chipping, pitching, and sand shots and lower your scores at distance and boost your confidence too. Like to play Clearwater Country Club? We're open to the public and afternoon rates start at only $26.95. We're conveniently located on North Petty Lane off Drew Street. For tee times, call the pro shop at 727-461-4188 or find us on the web at clearwatercountryclub.com.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me that's knocking. Why don't you listen to me, sugar?
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have William Yeatman join us. He is senior fellow. He specializes in environmental policy for the great Competitive Enterprise Institute. Bill, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It's our pleasure, and we're talking about something that a lot of people probably are not focusing on these days, but maybe they should focus on it, and that is carbon standards in the country and how much can be emitted into the atmosphere and where we are going. And apparently, we've got a new standard. It was released Monday. It requires that new coal-fired power plants, and maybe the emphasis should be on new, have to meet a certain standard. Is it a fair standard, and will it make any difference to our environment?
Oh, my. If I might respectfully I guess, amend your statement.
Sure.
Indeed, there was a standard for new power plants. It would require for new coal-fired power plants either co-firing with natural gas or the implementation of an as-yet not market-viable technology known as carbon capture and sequestration.
Okay.
However, at the same time, the EPA also issued a rule that is actually much more consequential. It's for all existing power plants, and that's known as the Clean Power Plan, and that's a hugely consequential rule. That would fundamentally overhaul the way that electricity has been regulated for 80 years, really since the New Deal.
Okay.
And it would, you know, it would, I guess states have been in charge for 8 decades. This would usurp the state's long-held exclusive prerogative to oversee their retail electricity markets and instead would put all that under the thumb of the Environmental Protection Agency. So that's a really big deal. That's in direct cost. It's the most expensive regulation ever imposed in the power sector. It's about $40 to $70 billion a year. It also poses real reliability threats insofar as EPA has no expertise to run the nation's electricity industry. So it's that's a big deal.
Yes.
That is one that your listeners should definitely be aware of. That came out on Monday, and that's a high-stakes rule, as they say.
Okay, and so that affects the existing plants, and that is much more important to us. And what you're saying is that the new plants would have a less stringent rule. Is that what you mean by that?
Exactly. Well, the new power plants have a different set of standards and generally less stringent.
Indeed. Gotcha. Now, most people, like me, you know, probably should follow this issue more. Now, people in West Virginia and Kentucky and some of the other states that produce coal are much more interested in this because it affects them and their jobs, right? I mean, does this have a direct effect, for instance, on the coal mining industry?
Oh, of course. I mean, it is. Look, I mean, the electricity industry, of which certainly coal mining is going to be a component, because it, you know, it's going to produce the raw stock that's for the power plants that generate 40% of the nation's electricity. You know, it's not just the industries directly affected by the sector. It's also all Americans, all your listeners. I mean, remember that energy is the backbone of the American economy. All acts of economic production require an energy input. I mean, this is a fundamental commodity. So, you know, having EPA take it over completely, this super important sector, mm-hmm. and, you know, to be, I guess, colloquial, to mess it up,
yes.
You know, is going to have a profound effect on us all. You know, we're talking more expensive electricity and less reliable. So that's a big deal for everybody.
Sure. Now, climate change. and coal emissions and EPA and all of these other things are all sort of all kind of floating up there together as a route for a large percentage of Democrats to hop on and apparently get more money from taxpayers. I don't know if this is a conspiracy or what, but you know, we hear about climate change, which used to be global warming, as you know, and now it's climate change. So that no matter what happens in the world, we can say, well, there you go, you know, climate change, man-made. But is this all part of the same, is this all part of the same thought process, you know what I mean? This coal-firing thing? Or is this really separate from that?
Oh, no, I think you hit the nail on the head, though slightly different tack. So you're exactly
okay.
Right insofar as these things are all related. And the scheme behind all these policies is grand. I mean, it's progressive goal. However, you had intimated, you know, they're trying to take our money. I would argue that it's less venal, but it's not necessarily money as much as it is an equally valuable commodity, and that's power. You know, as I intimated before, electricity is fundamental to all acts of economic production. If you control it, if you take that control from the states, then that's a pretty darn big deal.
Yes.
You now, you know, via that mechanism, you've essentially asserted control over the whole economy, given this commodity's import to the economy as a whole. So the upshot is, it's I don't think they're trying to suck money out of our pockets as much as they're trying to force us to live by their green standards. You know, that just means less of everything, deindustrialization, et cetera.
We're talking with William Yeatman. He is the senior fellow. He specializes in environmental policy and energy markets for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And, Bill, I look at the Constitution, and I go, all right, I know that the federal government probably can make a case for getting involved in the environment. I know you can. I mean, you know, back when the Founding Fathers were around, they didn't worry too much about it. They didn't have any control over it. But now we look at all of the smokestacks, and we look at cities like Hong Kong that you can barely walk down the street and see the guy, you know, 20 paces in front of you. And when we go, all right, but is that more of a state-by-state issue? Is the Constitution allowing us to get as involved in all of this as these carbon standards?
Well, I mean, apropos the carbon standards themselves, it suffers a number of legal infirmities. So it violates both the statute, the Clean Air Act, and of course, yeah, it raises huge constitutional questions, Tenth Amendment ones.
That's what I'm really at that level right now, because on our show we always talk about that we forget what these guys go in, they put one hand on the Bible and they hold the other hand up and they swear to defend the Constitution. That is not true. Correct?
No.
I mean, when it comes to stuff like this, is that true? I mean, it really isn't, right?
No, in this instance, I mean, this is a gross... I mean, the Founding Fathers would not... Of course, they wouldn't recognize today's electricity system, but with
That's
respect
true.
To a pure institutional power standpoint, this would make no sense to them. I mean, this is an egregious action. The EPA isn't even... They're not even energy regulators. I mean, the FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, they're the federal energy regulators. Why on earth is the EPA usurping this state, you know, this long-held state prerogative? So, yeah, it is. It does raise profound constitutional issues. I'll note this: because the rule suffers from so many legal infirmities, I would argue that it's likely the courts have a doctrine of not addressing constitutional issues if they can decide the matter at hand based on other
yes.
Other causes. In this instance, this rule, in no way does the Clean Air Act authorize the EPA to set national electricity policy, and as such, I strongly suspect that the courts will adjudicate the matter based on statutory concerns mm-hmm. rather than constitutional concerns.
Right. In other words, what the legislature has come out with, the EPA is not adhering to it, and so therefore the Supreme Court can say, we don't have to worry about the larger issue. We'll just
exactly.
deal with it. Okay. Now, can the states individually do a better job of protecting the environment inside of it? And then when it crosses over to the bordering state, work with them. Can they do a better job than the federal government on this?
That's a great question, and here is the answer. In most situations, I would argue, yes. I mean, for example, water pollution, that is in intrastate bodies, that is fundamentally a state issue. I mean, how land management, groundwater. So, yes, so many rationales or justifications for EPA's existence are better handled by the state. Now, that said, I'll note this. I'm a libertarian, so I'm generally suspicious of state power.
Right.
But a reason for our Constitution was for the federal government to, in essence, iron out, you know, difficulties that would otherwise rise about by having these sovereign states deal with one another.
Correct.
As if they were countries.
In other words, it was the arbitrator for a problem when two states couldn't agree. Is that right? Okay.
Exactly. So for some issues, like, for example, air pollution, real air pollution, conventional air pollution, like soot and whatnot, that doesn't respect interstate boundaries.
Correct.
So the upshot is that's an example of a cause. I mean, you know, a reason.
That's where
I could see the federal government, you know, actually having a healthy
correct.
Role. But what we've got is not that. We've got this power grabby entity that in essence is. Here's how it works. These environmental special interests, they spend millions of dollars to help get the president elected, and then in return, the quo for that quid, or pro for that quid, whatever, is they get the run of the mill at the EPA. So we don't have a disinterested civil service looking out for our best interest, doing things like mitigating interstate air pollution, which is a viable cause for the EPA. Instead, we have these special interests waging ideological battles against these abstractions like evil or dirty coal. So that is that there is the complicated answer to your question, and I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't answer it.
You are answering it.
Most of EPA's functions are better left to the states, but there are viable concerns. For example, interstate pollution that a disinterested, you know, civil service would be great. That an impartial EPA would be an ideal mechanism to solve that problem. But alas, politics is completely polluted. You know, this agency and has made that, at least for this administration,
sure.
Certainly not the case.
Well, I think you're right in how you're dealing with this answer. And indeed, if we could have a real objective arbitration when two states are disagreeing about the environment, then indeed it would be working. But let's get back to the issue at hand. And I go back to, again, this story by Marlo Lewis, yourself, the story about the power sector carbon rules here. The real prize for the Obama administration is control over each state's electricity market. Is that right?
Hear, hear. That's in the words of my colleague Marlo Lewis. That's exactly right. And that's what we were discussing earlier. It's not at the end of the day, if you control the electric industry, if you control the energy industry, you in essence have control over the economy. So that's what they want. They want to leverage this rule into dictating how your listeners use electricity, and in essence to use less of it.
Mm-hmm.
To this end, this is a very important point. So EPA didn't just publish this rule that would give itself the authority over all 50 states' energy policies or electricity policies. It also published a backstop, so a proposed federal plan. So if your state were to say, this is ludicrous, we have no intention of doing this, EPA has this federal implementation plan, this backstop policy. And what that policy is a cap and trade. Which is just unbelievable. I mean, it's a cosmic irony when you consider that the Congress, the 110th Congress, the 111th Congress, the 112th Congress, expressly rejected such a policy, a cap-and-trade policy. Yet here we have the executive branch, absent completely a congressional mandate, giving itself the authority to impose a nationwide cap and trade on any state that's unwilling to play ball with its, you know, egregious power grab. So, this is, you know, I realize it may have been off your listeners' radar just because these policies tend to be complex, and that's completely understandable. But please understand that this is a huge deal, and they gain to lose a great deal.
Yeah, it's almost like those movies where the villain takes control of the power grid or something like that, you know, and they're holding such and such for ransom. It's almost like that with the way the administration is doing this. So I think it's very interesting, and we've just always got to be on our guard. And I'm so delighted that organizations like yours are there to bring these things up so that we can understand them better, you know? So, Bill Yeatman, thank you so very much for joining us on Freedom Works, and I certainly look forward to our next interview.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
All right. William Yeatman, my friends, and we're going to take a break. Don't forget, I want to talk a little bit about this very deceitful editorial about Planned Parenthood in the Tampa Bay Times.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on Freedom Works this Wednesday, August 5th. Thank you very much for being with us. Well, as promised, I want to talk a little bit about what I consider to be a deceitful editorial in today's Tampa Bay Times. Very far-left newspaper, by the way, if you know anything about it. You live down here. It's entitled, Congress Should Stop Its Attacks. And it talks about these videos that have been released by this conservative organization that show discussions with Planned Parenthood about harvesting unborn babies' body parts. That's what this whole issue is about. But you might not necessarily know that if you read this particular editorial, because I want to show you how they frame and how those that support abortion frame the discussion. They always go after the messenger that says that killing unborn children through abortion is wrong. They always go after the messenger. They don't want to deal with the message, do they? It is the same case with this editorial. Now, there have been 5 videotapes released. And in each videotape, different people are seen talking about the harvesting of body parts of unborn babies for money. That's all this is about. Whether or not you agree that abortion should be legal. Forget that. It's the concept of selling body parts to research laboratories of unborn children. Okay, so keeping that in mind, here is this story. It starts out: a Republican-led effort to strip Planned Parenthood of federal funding fell short in the Senate on Monday, but that does not mean the attacks are going to stop. The organization has become a political football tossed about by politicians ranging from presidential hopefuls like Rick Scott. Now, notice, immediately, they go after Rick Scott. And they frame him as a presidential hopeful. Therefore, because he's a presidential hopeful, he's going to go after Planned Parenthood, as if that's the only reason, and principle would not have anything to do with it, right? So the editorial goes on. The politicians and abortion rights opponents, do you notice how it's abortion rights opponents? It's a three-word, multi-syllable phrase for a pro-lifer. They won't say the word pro-life in their articles because the pro-life sounds too good. So they use the pejorative term abortion rights opponents. Anyway, the politicians and abortion rights opponents are irresponsibly linking a controversy involving the sale of fetal tissues. That's their word, fetal tissues. It's another word for body parts, because it's body parts, organs. Fetal tissues sounds much too nice. It sounds like little microscopic parts that are no, these are body parts. So they say the politicians and opponents of abortion are irresponsibly linking a controversy involving sale of fetal tissues procured during the abortion with government funding for the organization. Then they have the gall to say in this editorial, the two issues have nothing to do with each other. Of course they have something to do with each other. They have everything to do with each other. They go on to say in this article that almost immediately Republicans and anti-abortion activists begin a dishonest protest of Planned Parenthood. Dishonest protest. My friends, the words of those Planned Parenthood officials on those tapes condemn themselves. It's their own words. Nobody doctored the words. Organizations like the Tampa Bay Times and other pro-abortion or whatever you want to call it, pro-choice groups, would have you believe that these videotapes are somehow doctored. No, they're released in their entirety. Now, they will highlight, the conservative group will highlight up front in the videotape that they're releasing edited portions. And, of course, those edited portions make their case. But the whole videotape is released, and everybody has access to it. And, again, here's another part of this deceitful editorial in the Tampa Bay Times. What's missing from the conversation are the facts. They say Planned Parenthood does not profit from the sale of fetal tissue procured in abortions. How do they know? They make money selling individual body parts, and they make money selling intact unborn children. They make money. They say, well, they're only covering their costs. How do you know they're only covering their costs? I'll guarantee you they inflate the cost and make money on it. This article also says that Planned Parenthood's abortion segment gets no taxpayer-funded money. Yes, they do. You know why? Because all of that money, the hundreds of millions of dollars they have gotten from the taxpayers, go into a big pot in Planned Parenthood. And that big pot is used to fund whatever they do. And you can talk all you want about the other things that they perform. Planned Parenthood's main job is to perform abortions. You don't have to go to Planned Parenthood for the other things. You can go to a host of other organizations that don't get taxpayer-supported funding And you get all of the other services, probably even get them better. So, you know, I'm not surprised that the Tampa Bay Times would be, to the left of the issue, you know, pro-choice. I'm not surprised. I understand that. And it's the editorial page. They have a right to be. But don't be deceitful. That's all I ask. Okay. Now, the other thing we promised we would talk to you about is the FBI and Hillary Clinton. And I tell you what, things are heating up for our friend Hillary. The FBI has started investigating the security of Hillary's private email server. The probe comes days after watchdogs from the State Department and intelligence have asked the Justice Department to explore whether there was classified material improperly shared or stored on this private email account. Now, it turns out that Hillary's lawyer, David Kendall, has one of those little, what do you call those little things? A thumb drive? Is that what it's called? And he's taking all of the stuff on his little thumb drive, which he can put in his pocket and wander around. Classified stuff. And it came from, of course, her private email server. So the FBI contacted Kendall about this, about the thumb drive that he has, and they want to see it. Did you notice, by the way, now, first of all, the FBI is a part of the Justice Department, and the Justice Department is a part of the Obama, or, you know, a part of the executive department, Obama, right? You know what? Obama's starting to turn on Hillary a little bit, I think. You know why? Because his vice president, Joe Biden, is seriously thinking about running for vice president. And I think that our friend Obama is going to start releasing Hillary to the wolves. Now, this will be very interesting, because if the FBI gets into this, I'm beginning to wonder if you can salvage Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. I think this is great theater. We were talking, Big Ed and I, prior to the show, about the debate that's coming up on Fox tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, and everyone's going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. He's going to watch it. It's like a sporting event to us in some ways. You got 10 people up there, you know, that are going to be talking about. And could you imagine what they're going to say about Hillary? I know that a lot of them want to get their fangs into Donald Trump, who was leading the rest of them. But can you imagine what's going to be said about Hillary Clinton? And they're going to have, I think, a huge audience, right? I've had to cough there, but this is going to be big time, so it should be fun. And I wonder if this FBI probe will get some, you know, get some attention as well. I'm starting to feel a little bit of pity. I wouldn't say I feel sorry for her, but I'm feeling a little pity for her. She is in so over her head, and I don't even think the Democrats are in her corner anymore. I think there's a new poll out. Bernie Sanders, the socialist, the independent, he's really, of course, a far-left Democrat. Did you know he's tied with Hillary in New Hampshire? He's tied. It's technically single digit that Hillary's ahead of him, but there's a New Hampshire primary poll, and if they were holding it right now, he would virtually be tied with her. Things are going downhill, and I don't think it's going to get better for her as time goes by. And of course, the New Hampshire primary will be the first one. So all of a sudden, Bernie Sanders is relevant. And as I say, I think they're starting to toss Hillary to the wolves in the Obama administration. There's never been a lot of love, by the way, for Bill Clinton, between Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. In fact, I would say there's almost downright dislike for them, for each other. So chickens are coming home to roost, I think, right now. Very, very interesting. Anyway, we're going to talk about how much of a third-party threat Donald Trump might be after we take this break. So please do not go away.
There you go, baby. Here am I. Oh, will you left me here so I could sit and cry? Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, it's Mike Riso, one of the professional golf instructors at Clearwater Country Club. Our daily golf tips are here to help you improve your game as simply and quickly as possible. Tune in each morning and we'll have a fresh new golf tip that'll help you with your putting, chipping, pitching, and sand shots, and lower your scores, hit distance, and boost your confidence too. Like to play Clearwater Country Club? We're open to the public, and afternoon rates start at only $26.95. We're conveniently located on North Betty Lane off Drew Street. For tee times, call the Pro Shop at 727-461-4188, or find us on the web at clearwatercountryclub.com.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
My name's Joni Siegel, and I'm the producer of the L. Ron Hubbard East Coast Golden Age Theater, WTAN Radio's presentation of Tales from the Golden Age. Tales in every popular genre. Let us return you to a time when fiction was good, clean entertainment, and the most fun a kid could have on a rainy afternoon, or the best thing an adult could enjoy after a long day at work.
East Coast Golden Age Theater, Monday evening at 6 on the Time Talk Radio Network.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday jazz brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with eggs benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say. We're back here on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Well, did you watch that very awkward question that was posed to Debbie Wasserman Schultz? She was on MSNBC. Chris Matthews was talking with her. And I was surprised, actually. They called the show Hardball. But when it comes to talking with liberal Democrats, I would call it softball. Anyway, Debbie is on, and she is asked to explain the difference between a Democrat and a socialist. And I'm not kidding. She started stammering. She didn't know how to answer it. She tried quickly to say, well, the real question is the difference between Democrats and Republicans, but Chris Matthews said, no, what's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? So after that occurred, she goes on Meet the Press. And again, she's asked that question. And once again, she jumped away from it. She wouldn't answer it. I think it's pretty interesting, isn't it, how that works? But I think the Democrats are in some, they got some splaining to do when it comes to all of this stuff. Anyway, Donald Trump will be front and center tomorrow night on Fox News. I'm guessing that they'll probably, I'm not positive, maybe we can check. I wonder if the regular Fox station is going to be carrying it, or is it going to be both, do you think, Ed? It is. Okay, Ed says both stations. So they're going to get some good ratings. Donald Trump will literally, geographically, be in the center. They're going to be basing the podiums on how they finish in the polls. And Trump is number one right now, so he's going to have the center podium. Well, what if he doesn't win the Republican nomination, which I don't think he will win? Is there a chance that he will run as a third-party candidate? That, to me, is the bigger question. And I wonder if that question will be posed to him. I think it will be. I have a hunch. that one of the three questioners from Fox News is going to ask Trump if he will run as a third-party candidate. That will be, in my opinion, the most interesting question that will be asked. And, I mean, he's doing amazing. There's a new Rasmussen poll. It's a national phone survey. 29% of likely U.S. voters say they're at least somewhat likely to vote for Trump. And that's not just Republicans. Likely U.S. voters. They will also vote for him if he's not chosen as the nominee from the Republican Party. Now, that's kind of scary. He can't win, I don't think, the Republican nomination. I think, with all due respect, I think he says a lot of great things, but he cannot back them up with how he will do it. It's great to decide that you want to build a wall between Mexico and the United States, and that it's easier to build that wall than it is to build the Great Wall of China, which was built many centuries ago. If they can do it, why can't we do it today with technology and all that? But he wants Mexico to pay for it, and when confronted as to exactly how Mexico can be forced to pay for it, I don't hear an answer from him. What are you going to do? Go to war with Mexico? Shut off? You can't shut off trade. You can't say, I declare that we're no longer going to trade with Mexico. You can't do that. He doesn't have the right to do that as president. So how is he going to make the Mexicans build the wall, right? He's also going to go over and he's going to threaten China because we're losing jobs here. And somehow he's going to make China toe the line with us because China's cheating on different ways of their trade agreements with us. What can he do as an individual? He can't force our businesses that are currently doing business with China to not do business with China. You just can't do it. So it's easy for him, I think, to say what he can do or wants to do, but actually doing it. And so tomorrow night, I wonder if those questions will be posed to him to tell us exactly how you're going to do it. Now, I like just as much as many people, I like what he has to say in the sense that he has the filter removed and he will tell it like it is in certain ways about our dissatisfaction with the way things are currently going. But I don't know that he's really got any solution. And I also noticed that he's changed 180 degrees on many of the things that he now claims. He used to be a big supporter of Hillary Clinton. He sent lots of money to her. He used to be a big supporter of some sort of government involvement in our health care. Now he's screaming about Obamacare. But he says he thinks that we should come up with another plan. Well, that means, to my way of thinking, that he thinks we should come up with a government plan, when indeed the best plan for health care for everybody is in the private sector and not with the federal government. So it'll be very, very interesting to watch him. I don't know who else is going to rise and shine. Personally, I think John Kasich is a guy to watch, but it's a long way between now and November of 2016. But again, I think those debates start on Fox at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So make a note to yourself. You'll kind of want to watch it. It should be a real education. All right.
Just a note here, yeah. It does not air on local Fox.
It does not. So
it's only on the Fox News channel, Fox, which will be DirecTV 360.
360 DirecTV, yep. And it's... it's 37 on Bright House Networks, mm-hmm. Channel 37. I know that.
And it's from 8 till 10.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yes. I understood it started at 9 to 10:30. Are you sure about that?
Well, you know, they'll get watered up, liquored up and stuff for the first half hour. And then they'll kick off probably about 8:30. They'll have a halftime break about 9:15.
We're going to get the popcorn. We're going to get the beer. Okay.
I'm sure we'll have some sort of halftime show.
Sort of like a Super Bowl party. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. All right. Speaking about having fun and the popcorn and the booze, the top 10 party schools. The Princeton Review has come out. They do it every year. The best I guess. When I think party schools, well, quite frankly, I think drinking party schools, right? So they have come up with the top 10. They do it every year. This is really true. And you're going to be surprised, I think. So without further ado, here we go. Top 10 party schools, number 10. Where are the drums? By the way, our drummer is drunk because he was sampling the delegates.
I was sampling their drink of the night.
Yes, indeed. He's getting ready for the debate by liquoring up.
Hey, you want to chill that scotch first?
All right. Anyway, number 10 is Colgate University. Wow. Would you have thought it? Colgate is like an Ivy League school.
Or a toothpaste.
And toothpaste is also made there. So I guess you brush your teeth after you've been drinking. Okay, number 9. Down to New Orleans, Tulane University. Tulane.
Well, come on, you got to be close to Bourbon Street.
You
that's
are
a no
close
brainer.
To Bourbon Street. I guess that's part of it. All right, fair enough. Number 8. Now, you explain this one to me, Ed. The University of Georgia.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Okay, why not? I'm just trying to think of a good reason. You gave
it's
me a good
big
one.
School.
For...
Big school. A big lot
school,
of party
big
going
drinking.
There.
All right. All right, fair enough. Number 7. West Virginia University.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a lot of moonshine? Do they have a lot of stills around there, do you think?
Rondé Barber said they could party there.
They must. They must indeed. All right, number 6. This one threw me, and it's the only one on the West Coast. University of California, Santa Barbara.
Wow.
Now, why is it Santa Barbara that has a big drinking school
there? USC?
No, California, Santa Barbara.
Those big universities, they may keep a lid on it. Yeah.
Yeah? Maybe you're right. But we got a few big ones coming up, so here we go. Number 5. Syracuse.
Mm.
Syracuse University. Now, they get a lot of snow up in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep warm, do you think it's liquor?
Could be.
All right, fair enough. Number 4. Bucknell University in Pennsylvania.
Bucknell.
Yeah. Now, to me, that's a very interesting one. I wonder why. It's a smaller university, smaller than most of the others here. But they, in Pennsylvania, I guess there's no other reason to be there than to drink. I don't know. Number 3.
That and inbreeding.
Uh-oh. I heard that. Number 3 is one I am not at all surprised at, and I went to it while I was a college student just to drink. I didn't go to school there.
Mm.
University of Wisconsin.
Well, now you say that. You stop by for a drink? I'm not here to learn anything.
When I was at Marquette.
I thought I'd stop in for a drink.
No, let me explain real quickly. When I was at Marquette, the county of Milwaukee didn't have drinking allowed until you were 21.
Yeah.
Well, when I was at Marquette, I was 18. So we all drove to Wisconsin University, another county. You could drink at 18.
Makes sense.
Drink beer. Oh, my God. And the drive back, 70-mile drive back.
Did you close
I wonder
one
why
eye?
More of us weren't killed. What?
Did you close one eye?
I tell you, both of my eyes were probably closed for a while. Anyway, number 2. Not far away, University of Iowa. University of Iowa, cornfield country, and they like to drink in cornfield country. Probably some of the moonshine comes from the corn.
Yep.
And finally, the number 1 university for drinking and partying is, do you know, Ed? Who do you think?
I don't know, somewhere around Vermont. I don't know, somewhere.
That's a good guess. But you are wrong, sir. The University of Illinois.
Oh.
The largest of the party schools. They have an annual day of drinking called Unofficial. It's a St. Patrick's Day celebration that was started by a local bar.
I'd hate to see the official day of drinking.
I know. Unbelievable. Well, my friends, thank you. Freedom works. We will be back on Friday. Have a good day.
Say you're gonna leave, you know it's a-